You know what sucks is when I'm doing the test recording and then I start doing, I just go into an intro and it's actually pretty good, but I can't really use it because I was doing test and checky and all this other shit. So anyhow, the Great One's been out of the loop for a while because he's been working, but while I was creating value for other people and making money instead of getting welfare checks, there was some chick, was it up in Canada? I think her name is Lindsay. She showed a Jordan Peterson video and got in trouble at her college, and I saw a little bit of that, and I watched a short video about her last night, and I'm looking at her, I'm going, yeah, I'd bang her. She's hot. She's good. And they're talking, and then somebody in the video, blah, 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 and somebody says, and Lindsay identifies as a liberal. And I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. It's just more cannibalism the left. So she's not a conservative? I don't know. I don't fucking know, because I don't keep up with this shit. But suddenly, I'm presented with this information in the video that this girl who showed the Jordan Peterson video is, well, she's not a right-winger, she's not an alt-righter, she's not any of this shit, she's actually a left-wing statist. Well, there you go. It's just like all the Hollywood people accusing each other of rape. College campuses. I mean, the leftists on college campuses have so oppressed and suppressed and limited the speech of the evil right-wingers on a college campus that now they have to start attacking each other because there's no one else for them to attack. If the rabid left-wing statist is not attacking someone else's freedom, they don't fucking exist, right? They have to be attacking someone in order to have a sense of purpose. And now that they've exhausted most of the right-wingers that they can attack, they're going to have to turn on themselves. Thus, in this newfound knowledge that this Lindsay chick is actually a left-winger, I would still put my dick inside of her, but I certainly don't have any sympathy for her being attacked by rabid leftists, because those are her fucking comrades in arms, and she gets what she deserves for being a left-wing statist bitch. That was my intro. How are you guys doing? I'm the Great One himself. I'm the founder. Today's the 19th of December in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer, 2017. And I'm in a pretty good mood. Pretty good mood today.
This is Radio Free.
It's been promised. I kept telling you about it. Today is the technology rant. Jesus Christ, it just makes me want to go insane.
Two kinds of people in this world.
There are two kinds of people, parasites and producers. The reason you lost your power is because you were waiting for the government to give you stuff for free because you think you deserve things. Natural selection and the lack of natural selection. Same difference. Natural selection, living, dying. Yeah. Have I mentioned that we need more natural selection? Great One, are you drinking a martini? No, I'm not. I'm drinking coffee. It's 10 o'clock in the morning, which is not too early for a martini. Not by no stretch of the imagination. I haven't got there yet. I'm working on it. Martini is coming up soon. Great one. Have you published Linkage yet today? No, I haven't. Today is Tuesday. I haven't done Linkage yet. It's going to come out late. Deal with it, guys. Deal with it. Remember, if you lead Linkage and you don't pay me, you're stealing. It's my Stefan Molyneux for today. Similarly, digital technologies can bring news and pictures to us from far away, instantaneously and constantly. We can watch live feed of oil from an underwater well leaking into the ocean, or cell phone video of an activist getting murdered in the streets by a dictator's police. But with little more to do about it than blog from the safety of our bedrooms, such imagery tends to disconnect and desensitize us rather than engage us fully. Besides, it's over there somewhere. Meanwhile, what is happening just outside our window is devalued. As we come to depend on the net for our sense of connection to each other and the world, we end up fetishizing the tools through which all this happens. We associate our computer screens and email accounts with our most profound experiences of community and connection, and mistake blog comment sections for our most significant conversations. And so we begin to use long-distance technologies by default, even in local situations where face-to-face contact would be easier. I'll never forget being proudly escorted by a college administrator to a classroom that had been used for a model United Nations for the past 10 years. This year, however, they were doing things differently. Instead of having the students recreate the General Assembly in their classroom, they would do it in an online simulation called Second Life. When I got into the room, I saw 40 students sitting at desks outfitted with high-resolution computer screens. Although the students were all in the same place at the same time, they were not looking at one another, but at the monitors on their desk. On the monitors was an approximation of a room very much like the one they were in, but without computers. A simulation like this might be great for students of an online university to engage more fully with one another, or from students from around the world to experience something like the United Nations without having to travel. But for students in a school who have already spent time, money, and energy to get a real classroom at a real college, why throw all that away for video game version enhancement? Similarly, I very often find the host of my talks flabbergasted when they learn I will be presenting without the aid of a computer slideshow. Some have even been brought to the brink of canceling an event for fear of how their audiences might react to a speaker who presents without computer-generated visuals. What they can't seem to grasp is that I could just as easily deliver a digital slideshow from the comfort of my home via broadband internet. There's no need to fly a human body 2,000 miles for that. No, the reason to spend the jet fuel to bring a human body across the country or an ocean is for the full spectrum communication that occurs between human beings in real spaces with one another. The digital slideshow, in most cases, is a distraction, distancing people from one another by mediating their interaction with electronic data. This misguided tendency to depend on long-distance technology to enhance up-close encounters is completely understandable and forgivable. The more connected we feel in digital spaces, the less securely connected many of us feel in real ones. After days or weeks connecting with people through video chats, the sensation of someone's eyes actually looking into our own in real life can be overwhelming and distorting. Similarly, after years of understanding our businesses as brands whose values can be communicated entirely in an ad, it's only natural for us to lose sight of what it means to run an enterprise in a particular place. It's as if the whole notion of place has been surrendered to the digital realm's non-local reality. Wherever you might be, it's just another set of GPS coordinates. By recognizing digital media's bias for dislocation, we are enabled to exploit its strengths, delivering interactivity over long distances, while preserving our ability to engage without its interference when we want to connect locally. Many businesses, particularly the biggest ones, already exist in a non-local reality. The entire history of industrial corporatism, from colonial empires to the railroad barons of the 19th century, depended on disconnecting people from their local strength and commanding them from afar. For them, it is just as ridiculous to use the net to feign that they are local enterprises as it is for local enterprises to use it to act in the manner of national brands. Powerful global companies become weak local ones, while promising local companies become weak global players. The digital age offers us the opportunity to recognize the dislocating bias of our interactive media. With that knowledge, we may choose when we wish to live and work in real places with one another and unique to living humans in person. That's from the book Program or Be Programmed, 10 Commandments for a Digital Age by Douglas Rushkoff. It's a very short, small book, 150 pages. I highly recommend you buy it, read it. Technology. I'm going to put a couple of videos in the show notes for you to check out. I'm not going to talk about these too extensively because Dave does it. These are a couple of Dave Cullen videos. The first one is about how the newest Intel processors and other computers as well have an additional CPU inside of them, which is there to do other stuff and allow things to be done remotely, which is hilarious in so many ways. Wait for it. So you're at Intel, okay? You're a fucking engineer. You went to college. You're a fucking Intel engineer, and you have this brilliant idea. Inside all of our computers, let's put an additional microprocessor, which is actually a completely separate computer, which is designed to be accessed from the internet, and it runs even when the computer is turned off. Let's put that in all of our computers, because what could possibly go wrong? Nobody could ever fucking hack that. Your computer has another computer in it connected directly to the internet that never turns off, even when you power the computer down. Nothing could go wrong there. Nothing. That's a brilliant fucking idea. Bravo, Intel. Bravo. And on the subject of brilliant ideas, Dave's next video, here's a brilliant idea. So you're a fucking normie. You're a 99%er. You're stupid. You say, hey, let me buy a device that listens to everything I say, and let me put it in my house and allow it to hear every sound in my house, every word that comes out of my mouth, and store all of that information on the cloud. Out there for whichever corporation I got this device from, Google or Amazon or Apple. Yes, let me put a recording device in my house that records and stores every word I say and sends it to a corporation. Yes, why, that's a brilliant idea. What could possibly go wrong? And the terrifying thing to me is how, and this is how the Jews went into concentration camps, right? The Nazis showed up and said, hey, you need to leave your house. You're getting on this train. We're taking you someplace. I will never forget, guys, I will never forget. I've talked about this before. I haven't talked about it in a while. I wish I could find this documentary. I watched this documentary years and years ago. And they're interviewing these Jews who survived the concentration camps. And they're saying, what happened? And the Jews like, well, we're at home. And they knocked on the door. And they said, you're coming with us. And we're sending you to this other city. And we have jobs for you there. And up until this was sort of the transition in my life. You can call me anti-Semitic right now. This was a transition point in my life where I realized that sometimes stupid people get what they deserve. Because my vision in my brain from television or anything else was that, you know, the Nazis came and kicked in the doors and grabbed the Jews and pulled them off kicking and screaming. And I know that happened in some cases, don't get me wrong. But the Jews that they're, I said the Jews as if they're an alien species. These Jewish people whom are being interviewed, they're telling the story. And they're telling the story and they're saying, well, yeah, we are home. And they knocked on the door and they said, we're relocating you to this other city. And we're like, huh? And like, yeah, we have jobs for you there. We've built homes for you and everything. And they're like, okay, well, let us pack our stuff. And the Nazis said to them, oh, you don't need to pack stuff. Everything you need is already there. And, you know, including clothing. And like, okay, when someone says to you, we've built a house for you in another city, and we have a job for you already over there, and you don't even need to pack your clothes because we already have clothes for you in this new house we've built for you. Is none of that a clue? Like, how stupid do you have to be to believe all of that? And these Jewish people, they fell for it. And I'm sitting here and I'm watching this documentary and I'm horrified. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. You know, once again, see, I had underestimated the stupidity of humans. It's like, no, some of you, not all of you, not every Jew, but how they fell for this? And this is when my sympathy, I was in a concentration camp. You know what? I'm running out of sympathy for you. I really am running out of sympathy. You fell for that? And it's the same thing here. You put a device in your house that listens to everything you say and sends it to the corporations. You did this willingly. No Nazis broke down your door and forced you to put this device on your kitchen table so it could listen to everything you said. Donald Trump did not make you fucking put this in your house. I'm out of sympathy for you normies. I am out of sympathy. And if Donald Trump ever does build concentration camps and start putting you in them, which he's not, but if he does, don't come to me for sympathy. Oh, this isn't even on my show notes. Net neutrality. Oh my God. One person wrote me and said, the minute net neutrality passed, my internet stopped working. I'm like, well, first of all, you're sending me an email right now, which means your internet must be working. But maybe you all need to calm the fuck down. Okay, but here we go. Let's say that net neutrality is everything that you think it is. Now that there's net neutrality is gone, the corporations are going to raise the price of internet and all this other shit. Wait a minute. Are these the same corporations that listen to every word you say in your house? That, you know, I mean, you hate the corporations, and yet you can't stop sucking the cock of the corporations. Especially the fucking Apple people. We'll talk about you Apple people more. God, just you fucking Apple users. All right. Technology. Why can't I find, and I may have finally done it, it took a while. Why can't I find a fucking MP3 player that just fucking works? Now, having just bitched about Apple and going to bitch about Apple in the future, here's the thing, man. I can understand why people like Apple products. The iPod made... The iPod interface is so easy to use. It's nice. It's great. It's fantastic. I have three iPods. Told the story before. I didn't pay for any of them. They all came to me free. I don't give Apple my money. I'll use their products if the product is free. So the iPod, the interface, great. The problem with the iPod is you can't get music on it without iTunes, which is a piece of shit, and you can't get music off of it at all because everything goes through the Apple proprietary fucking music library bullshit, and it jacks it all up. My iPods are all dying because they're ancient. I mean, does Apple even make iPods anymore? So I'm looking for a new MP3 player. For a while, I was using a SanDisk, which was really good. And I had heard it's a Sansa SanDisk. Does it say what kind this is? So I bought this for like $30. It was refurbished. And it's an older version because I read the reviews on the Amazon of the .com. And people were saying the newer versions were even shittier, that things were going backwards. They were flabbier. The clips were not as good. The clip that you actually clip it onto your shirt or whatever. They were saying the software was not as good, yada, 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 and that this particular model was the really good one. All right, so I went out and I sought out that model, found a refurbished one, bought it, $30, used it for years when I was trail running. Great little fucking player. I was really happy with it. It's finally dying. I thought about getting a new Sansa player, but all the negative reviews make damn it. It's like there's so many negative reviews, and I forget what the price are. They're like mid-range. I want to say they're like $80, something like that. So I'm just like, fuck, I don't know if I want to blow $80 on something that might be a piece of shit, because, you know, I'm a fucking poor, and I'm a minimalist, and I don't like spending money on shit. Okay, so I find this cheap little $20 MP3 player. I'm like, all right, you can't go wrong. It's $20. I will spend $20 and see what happens. I found another cheap little $20 MP3 player. I'm like, all right, you know what? Let me hedge my bets. I'm going to buy one of each. One of them is bound to be decent. All right, they show up. First of all, despite what it appeared on the Amazon of the .com, and this is why there are some things I will buy on the internet. Okay, talking about buying things on the internet. We have to digress for a minute. Over at Weyland-Yutani, we got a new company vehicle. And Dallas, so the company vehicle is missing the gas cap. Yes, missing the gas cap. Okay, just roll with me. So Dallas goes on the internet and orders a gas cap. Okay, the gas cap shows up. It's the wrong gas cap, of course, because you got number one, you're trying to order a part for an automobile on the internet, which is maybe an okay idea if you really know what you're doing, but when you don't know what you're doing, you shouldn't do that. And number two, since Dallas has the attention span of a mayfly, I've watched him. He just gets on Amazon and just clicks on shit and then just orders everything in sight. He doesn't read the descriptions. He doesn't look at the review. Nothing. It's just like, oh, there's a picture. Oh, that looks good. Order, order, order. And I'm just like, God damn, dude. The amount of money. And I mean, we have, not making this up, guys, we have like stacks of stuff that needs to be returned to Amazon.com. We have some shit we got from Amazon 3 years ago that is still sitting there waiting to be returned because it's not the right shit. It's like, I bet at our office, I would bet you there's $800 worth of shit that needs to be returned to Amazon because he orders stuff and it gets here and it's the wrong thing. Anyway, so Dallas orders the fucking gas cap. It's the wrong fucking thing. And again, this is the fetishizing of technology. The obsession with, oh, I'm going to do things on the internet. Oh, and then the other classic. He orders all this shit for the events that we're doing, which happened on Friday and Saturday night. He orders all of this stuff from Amazon.com. And on Monday, it all shows up. It's like, well, it's a little bit too late. Once again, it's like, well, I'm going to order this from Amazon. It'll show up by Friday. What makes you think that? Once again, if it was, say, for example, you were born yesterday, and you've never ordered anything from Amazon.com, and maybe you don't know about Christmas, and you don't know that December is when all the mail companies and the shipping companies are really busy, right? Maybe if you're from another planet, and you've never used Amazon.com before, and you don't really understand all of these things, I could see you thinking that, hey, if I order something from Amazon.com on Wednesday, it's going to show up Friday morning. I could understand that. But when you have 50 years of life experience and you order shit from Amazon.com almost every day and every fucking year, multiple times you order things from Amazon and they show up too late for you to actually use them for what you ordered them for, you would think after a while a person would notice a pattern. Apparently not if you're a normie. Anyhow, I'm sitting here with this gas cap that doesn't fit because it's the wrong one because we ordered it on the internet because of the fetishizing of the internet. And he says unto me, find the right gas cap so I can order it. And I'm like, okay. I got in the company truck that doesn't have a gas cap. I drove 7 blocks to the junkyard. I walked in there, I said, hey guys, do you have a gas cap that fits that truck? And the guy looked at it and said, let me go check. He comes back 10 minutes later with a gas cap in his hand. I gave him $25. He gave me the gas cap. I put it on the truck. You fucking people have got to let go of the fucking internet. You've got to stop fetishizing and fucking obsessing over how everything is on the interwebs. Sometimes if you just fucking go out into the real world, and I know the real world is scary because there's other people out there and they might look at you. They might look at you. They could see you with their own eyes and you would have to see them. And you might have to be nice to somebody. It's a hilarious coming from me being the cocksucking bastard that I am saying you have to be. Yeah, you might have to interact with other humans and get along with them. And the hilarious part is all you cocksucking statists out there who are like, well, you anarchist, you're selfish and you don't like other people and you want everyone else to die. And it's like, you're so fucking terrified of other people that you just can't go out in the world and interact with other humans. There are some things that should not be fucking bought on the interwebs, like gas caps. And shoes. I know somebody who bought shoes on Amazon.com. I'm like, okay, I guess you could do that. Like 3 weeks later, oh, these shoes are falling apart. Oh, because you didn't see them in person before you bought them so as to assess the quality. So there are things I don't really want to buy on the internet. An MP3 player is in some ways one of them. So I order the 2 El Cheapo $20 MP3 players. They show up. They're actually both the same player, despite the fact that the pictures on Amazon.com make them look different from each other. They're the exact same thing. You can tell they're just mass-produced in China, and then different companies sell them with different names. But they are exactly the same. They're built the same. The software is the same. Only the packaging is different. The software is fucking terrible because the software apparently does not read MP3 tags. Which I don't know how you have an MP3 player that doesn't read MP3 tags, but apparently you can. And thus, it's all confused about where, and the files, and it doesn't play the files in order, which is completely useless for an audiobook. So I'm sitting here going, God damn it. At least I only sunk $40 into this. Which, of course, is halfway to buying a brand new SanDisk, which may or may not be good because based on the reviews. And about the Amazon reviews, as you all know, anything that doesn't have any negative reviews, you should be afraid of. If it's all glowing reviews, then you know something is fake. If it's all negative reviews, something might be fake. Look, it's technology. With technology, I never expect perfect reviews all the way around because you're always going to have technology failures. All right, so then I went back and I'm like, okay, I guess I got to spend a little bit more. I found and ordered this. When you're naming your company, name your company something that people can fucking pronounce. The name of this company is AGPTEC. Now, am I supposed to, is this supposed to be called AGP Tech? Agptic? I mean, how do I pronounce this? If you want people to talk about your company, preferably favorably, because you want more business, make the name of your company something people know how to fucking say. So I bought this player. It's made in China. It says so right here. 8 gigabytes internal and then a SD card. That's another thing I hate about the fucking iPods. Yeah, all Apple devices, no external storage. And I understand why. We'll talk more about that in a minute because it's the cloud. They want your shit on the cloud because once your shit is on the cloud, they own you. Ah, fuck, that reminds me. I failed to pull up. You know what? I don't need it because I'm not going to go in depth on it. Never mind. But the links will be in the show notes for what I'm going to talk about. It goes back to the cloud. And Adobe trying to get everybody on the cloud with their fucking software. So I get this player and I put some files on the internal disk and I put some files on the expansion disk, on the SD card. And at first it won't see the files on the SD card. So I'm like, Jesus Christ. So it's got this little function. This one, the interface is much better. It makes more sense. It appears to actually read MP3 tags. It's playing the files in order because I have been using it to listen to audiobooks. Too bad I can't use it to fucking talk for me because apparently I am fucking vocally challenged right now. It works much better. The interface is good. It reads the files. But then it has this function in here where you can refresh the files on the external card, right? So I'm refreshing the files, and some of them appear, but not all of them. It's like, what the fuck? So I refresh it again. Now none of them appear. So I refresh it again. Now some of them appear. So I go on the interwebs, and apparently the thing can only recognize, I think it's 4,000 files. Like, okay, well, that could be a problem if you put a lot of fucking files on it. So what I ended up doing was just putting the audiobooks on the internal drive because that's the most important thing I want to hear on here. The music is, I put some music on it also, but that's secondary. So I put the music on the external card. I put the audiobooks on the internal card. It found the audiobooks. I can listen to the goddamn audiobooks while I'm out trail running, which is the important thing, which is what I bought it for. Why is it, however, that in the year 2017, when everything has to be dumbed down as much as possible, Apple products, because people aren't that goddamn smart, why is simply getting a device that will play some fucking MP3 files, read MP3 tags, play MP3 files, play the files in the correct order as determined by the track number tag in the MP3 file tag. That's all I need. You know, it's got all this other stuff. It's got voice recording and a stopwatch, and it can display picture. Can I just get a fucking device that will play an MP3 file? Why is this so hard? Why does technology have to be so fucking convoluted? And I think part of this is just to appeal to the normies, and it's to sell more shit. Because when you say unto the normies, well, look at this device, it plays your music, and you make phone calls, and you look at pictures, and you stream video, and you can it monitors your heart rate, and it listens to every word you say, and it answers your, and it's all this shit, and people are like, oh my God, that's so wonderful. Is it really? Is it really that fucking wonderful? I just want to play a fucking audiobook. That's all I want to do. Yeah. Well, why don't you do this on your cell phone? Well, because number one, my cell phone is ancient. Because number two, I don't carry my fucking cell phone everywhere I go. My cell phone is a lot bigger than an MP3 player. I don't want to run down the trail with a giant fucking cell phone when I could be running down the trail with a small plastic MP3 player. And then I love it when I say to people that I don't take my cell phone every place with me. These looks. This is like, like right now, my cell phones, I have two of them. I have the flip phone and I have the shitty little Android. Both of them are prepaid phones. Right now, some of you might need to sit down. If you're not sitting down, if you're sensitive, if you're a snowflake, sit down. I'm going to give you a second while I drink some coffee. Both of my shitty little outdated prepaid cell phones at this moment and for the last at least 24 hours have both been turned off. Does anybody need me to turn a phone on and dial 911 for you? Do you need an ambulance? Now, some of you are going, what is off? Because you see, off is this state of an electronic device where the power isn't going through it and it's not functioning, except that if it's an Intel computer, it is still functioning because there's a little microprocessor in there that functions. And in fact, with your cell phones, even when you turn them off, and I know many of you don't know where the off button is, if you turn them off, it still transmits your GPS location to the corporations and the government. But what that means is if you tried to call me or text me right now, I would not know this because my cell phone devices would not flash or beep or make any noise whatsoever. That is called off. See, cell phones do that. You can turn them off. Right now, some of you are probably pissing on yourself. And this is the thing. Pete, when I tell people I turned my cell phone off, because someone would be, I was texting you. Well, my cell phone was turned off. Hold the looks that I have gotten. Many years ago at Weyland-Yutani, we were doing a gig, and I had to get up early in the morning and go over to the location to do some shit. So I got up, bam, and I'm fucking trucking over there. I'm doing my thing. And it's like hours later that day, one of the other guys shows up and he's like, where the fuck were you this morning? I'm like, I was here working. Well, I was trying to text you. I'm like, well, that's nice, but I didn't bring my cell phone with me today. And he's like, what do you mean you didn't bring your cell phone? Why didn't you bring your cell phone? And I looked him dead in the eye. I looked him dead in the eye and I said, because I'm not a 14-year-old girl and I can leave my house without a cell phone. And I thought he was going to melt down because this is a grown man to whom the concept of leaving your house without a cell phone is completely alien. He had no way to reference that. He had no ability to access the notion that you can leave your house without a cell phone. MP3, I'm supposed to be talking about MP3 players, not cell phones. Anyhow, for the moment, MP3 player appears to be resolved. We'll see how it goes. Linux. As you guys know, I love Linux, even though I record this podcast in Windows, which is a story. The short version is this. I got a new microphone, which had some additional functions, and in Linux, those additional functions were not working correctly. And I had two options. My options were to troubleshoot it and make it work, which I could have done, or I flopped over to Windows and it was working fine, and I just rolled with it. And so I record this under Windows 7, and even though I will rag on everybody, including Microsoft, Windows 7 has been pretty solid, and I can tell you I've never had a problem recording the podcast in Windows. I've never had, people talk about, well, because I use Audacity, and people say, well, Audacity crashes if your file gets too big and all this other stuff. I've never had that. The only problem I've ever had is the, I think it was the first podcast Adam Piggott and I did together, where I have to record me on one computer and I record Adam on the other computer, and somehow or another, the Audacity file of my voice got lost. Never had that happen before. Never had it happen again. It just vanished. Fortunately, I had exported the audio before closing the program as a wave, as a backup, which is why I do that. We'll talk about backing up data later. I did that as a backup, and I lost the Audacity file. Still have no idea where it could have gone, would have gone. Just baffling. But I had the wave, so everything was good. Anyhow, I love Linux. Been using Linux since 2001. Actually started using Linux in, I think it was December of 2000, because my goal was to be understanding and running Linux by 2001 because of 2001 Space Odyssey, yada, yada, yada. So that was my goal I set for myself. Even Linux is starting to go to shit because normies. And also part of this is because I think many of the people who program Linux don't have girlfriends. And because they don't have girlfriends and they've never seen a girl naked except for on the internet, they just don't have a fucking life and they need to constantly fuck things up. This is, and this goes back to, why does the fucking MP3 player have to do so much shit and all this other stuff? In the world of technology, we've hit this point where we're past the point where technology does what it needs to do. It's the same thing with WordPress, which is what I use for the website and all this other shit, right? WordPress, it was really good and it had stuff. And then WordPress hit this point where it does everything it needs to do. But the virgins who write WordPress and have never seen a girl and never had a girlfriend still need something to do with their lives, because if they're not writing code, they have no purpose. So they've got WordPress, and WordPress is pretty much perfect the way it is, does everything it needs to do. So now they start adding more shit to it that no one actually needs. MP3 players. Somebody built an MP3 player, they wrote some software, the software played the fucking MP3 files, and it played them in the correct order, and it allowed you to browse the files by artist and album and select the file you wanted to play. Beautiful. However, since the people who wrote the software for the MP3 player have never had a girlfriend in their lives, they don't have a purpose now, so they have to add more shit. Well, let's make it show videos. Let's make it show pictures. Let's give it a stopwatch. Let's see if we can make it monitor your heart rate. Well, let's put a GPS device in here. No. See, now you're just fucking things up because you're overcomplicating it. You're adding things that don't need to fucking be there because you cannot hit this point. You can't look at what you've done and say, I have done this and it is good, right? On day fucking 7, God woke up. He looked at the earth and the heavens and he said, hey, I did really fucking good. I'm taking a day off. He didn't sit there and go, okay, now I'm going to add some more shit. Okay, you've done it. You've created the MP3 player. You've created the WordPress. You've created this. You're good. You can fucking stop now. You don't need to keep cramming more fucking features that nobody fucking wants. And this is happening now to Linux, and it's pissing me the fuck off. because now I'm having to deal with it. Back in the ancient days when Linux didn't suck, Linux is still great, don't get me wrong. When Linux didn't suck, so you install a program on Linux. Let's just say Opera web browser. Okay, so in your home, I don't want to get super techie fucking boring here, but as I've explained enough for people who don't know anything about Linux. Okay, so like in your Windows or whatever, you have your home folder, your documents, or what the fuck ever. On Linux, every user, so I'm the great one, so if my login is the great one, there's a folder called home, and inside home, there will be a folder called the great one, and that's my user folder. So all of my data, by default, goes into home/the great one. In the great one, for each piece of software you installed, let's say you install Opera web browser. So there will be a hidden folder, a dot in front of it, called Opera, .opera. There would be .k3b, .microsoft word, even though that's not really a thing. I'm just making shit up, right? .battletanks, .abbeyword, .thunderbird, .clawsmail, .audacity. Okay, whatever software you install is going to create a hidden directory in your home folder, and that's where all the configuration files for that piece of software are stored. And if you have another user on the same computer, right, let's say the other user is Stephanie, so Stephanie has home/Stephanie. And in her, so she can use the same software, but all her configurations are stored locally. So everybody's got their own configurations there when they log in. And the beautiful thing is, you can back up everything that is you, all of your personalization of the computer. All you have to do is back up home/the great one. All your desktop configuration, like everything about how you have configured that computer is stored in that directory. Unlike Windows, where shit is scattered to the fucking winds. Some of your configurations are in the registry, some of your configurations are in the fucking roving, some of your configurations are in the fucking local. The shit's everywhere. In Linux, everything was in one place and it was fucking organized. But you see, that wasn't good enough, because there are people who program Linux who don't have girlfriends. And they can't just say, hey, look, I've created this awesome fucking software. I am now going to go spend some time with my girlfriend. No, what they say is, I have created this awesome software and now I have no life. So now I'm going to take the awesome software and I'm going to try to improve it by changing things that nobody wants changed. So now I've noticed that Linux has created a config directory. And then in the config directory, there's these other fucking directories that make no sense. And then buried somewhere in there, there's some other stuff. A little while back, Quite RSS, the RSS reader I use, stopped working under Linux. And so I went looking for the configuration directory to check it out. And I couldn't fucking find it because it's not .quite RSS in the home directory, in the user directory rather, where it should be. No, it's buried under fucking config/fucking something else. Because we just cannot look at what we've done with technology and say, oh, this is good, I'm gonna leave it the fuck alone. We have to change shit. I also test drove Mint Linux, which is a Linux version I was turned on to by the Bitcoin billionaire. It's what he runs. So I'm like, all right, because there's two. Here's the thing. Linux can either be complex or it can be easy. Now, on my home computer, I use Gentoo Linux. Gentoo is not for newbies, but I delved into Gentoo because I wanted to learn more about how Linux works. So Gentoo involves compiling software, working with the command line to do all this stuff, yada, yada, yada. Gentoo is not, if you've never installed Linux in your life, do not go anywhere near Gentoo. because, I mean, again, unless you have a computer that it's okay if you break it, not break it as in it won't boot, but break it as in break the file system and have to restore it, right? Don't install Gentoo on your good computer that you use every day if you've never done Linux before. Now, if you want to learn about Linux and if you want to learn about computers and learn how all of this stuff works together, then I highly recommend Gentoo. That's one of the reasons I migrated to it after utilizing, I tried Debian, which despite all the good things that you've heard about, God, it was just a piece of shit. Now keep in mind, this was in fucking, you know, 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago. Debian may be much different today, but back then it was fucking unusable. Tried Red Hat, I tried Mandrake, ended up on the Gentoo. Now on the other side, you got your distros that are very easy to use, easy to install, everything's kind of pre-configured, they look like Windows, you have a little start button, it's everything easy for you to do what you're going to do. And there's a place for those. That's what I use on my backup computers, and that's what I use, for example, on my computers over at Weyland-Yutani. I use Linux over there instead of Windows, and I don't want to have to spend at Weyland-Yutani 2 days compiling software, which is actually a thing if you have a slow computer. On my i7 here at home, I mean, I did a bunch of updates on Gentoo the other day. It was something like, it was almost 300 packages, and it took 16 hours of time to compile all of that software. So that's a thing. You have to think about that when you're making these decisions. So for your laptop or for your work computer where you don't have time for that shit, you want a nice, simple distro that installs binary packages and all this other stuff. So the Bitcoin billionaire told me about Mint Linux, which is an easy-to-use distro, binary-based, all this other stuff. So I thought, all right, I'm going to try out the Mint Linux, and we're going to see how this goes. Because I need something that's very low maintenance. You know, much like a girl that's low maintenance. Oh, wait, those don't exist. And that's the end of the podcast, except it's not. We're going to let the theme song play, and I'm going to come back. We're going to finish this up. It's going to be a long one. Or maybe not. Let me think about this. Maybe I should just take a break now. All right, let's take a poll. How many people think I should go long? Okay, how many people think I should end? See, this is why democracy doesn't work. Thank you. Okay, I'm gonna wrap it up now because I have another like 3 hours of material here. We're not going that long.